I did think today, with it being Mother's Day, that I wanted to share a little bit about family, and it goes in the context of this conversation we've been having about bringing life to our city. We've been talking a lot about it. It's a significant conversation of how do we become people that truly bring life to a city, and how do we do that? What do we do day in and day out that this actually matters? And I feel like the idea of family is a really, really big one, because we've been clinging to the notion that we don't just go to church, but we are the church, and that when we act as a sent people of God, we'll actually find ourselves doing all sorts of life-giving things. And so this idea of family inside of that's huge. And family is kind of alive in the language of the church, isn't it? And we call ourselves a church family. In the scripture, it says what? We call one another brothers and sisters. And so this idea of not only does this church have families in it, not only are each and every person in this church part of a family, but together we are trying to become a family. And so there's a lot of family dynamic going on in every angle you look at this. And the other day in my family, we had a moment. Because I think inside most families, what you see is some of the most genuine, some of the most honest, some of the most, if you will, authentic things happen within family. Well, the other day in our family, it was about 9:30 at night. Kids were in bed, and all of a sudden, Grayson, our two-year-old, comes down the stairs. He comes down the stairs, and he kind of sheepishly looks at Christy and goes, "Mommy, can you make cinnamon rolls in the morning?" Which I loved. I thought that was awesome that he's in bed, and he's thinking about breakfast. Most of my stories about Grayson deal with food. And here's the thing about families, though. Families are a place where everybody matters, right? And of course, the next morning, Christy, being the great mama she is, she whips up cinnamon rolls for Grayson, right? And when I think about family and everyone matters, I mean, to the point of how do we be a place and where someone can say, "I want cinnamon rolls," and we say, "Yeah, sure, we're gonna get you cinnamon rolls." You know what I mean? Like that you're loved that deeply. And when I want to talk about family today, I want to say it in two ways. And again, this will be brief, but it's two-pronged. One, your family that you're in. But two, this family that we are as a church. I want to speak, if you will, just about a few ideas of what a family is. Because I believe this conversation, once again, about bringing life to our city has a lot to do with our ability to grow as a family. Because being the church, the best way we know how, which is kind of the line that's underneath this thing that we say a lot, will look a lot like a group of people who love one another a whole bunch, and they look to include as many people as they can in the family, that people would have a place to belong. Belonging is a huge part. Everybody wants to belong somewhere. So here's what it is, and again, I'm going to go through this quickly, but I shared about a year ago or so a little bit about family, and I wanted to touch on some of these things again because I think they're huge. But a family is this, and I just thought a better way to do it than just kind of go through about a quick list. But the first thing is this, just a family loves one another. There's a scripture that I'm going to read with that, and it comes out of John 13, 34, and 35. "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." Before anything else, a family loves one another, right? In fact, I think for the context of the church, if you will, this is what makes the church contagious. I was talking to a local business leader here on 23rd Street recently, and he said something to me about our church. He said, "You know, Tim, people are noticing what you guys are about." And he told me that other local businesses, a few statements they said, he said, and these are real like quotes apparently, but he said this, someone said that this church is, they actually care about our community. Another prominent owner of a few restaurants said, "If we're gonna have to have a church on 23rd Street, I'm glad it's that one." I take that, man. That is awesome. I love it. And that's a real thing that someone said. And the world will know us by our love. And I think the reason that even in our community that people are kind of starting to warm up to a church being here is because of who we are as people and the love that we're showing. And we have a lot to grow in, but I think it's important. Next thought I want to say is a family cares for one another's needs. Let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. "All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need." When someone has a need, a healthy family always meets the need, right? A few nights ago, we got a phone call from Meredith Kemp. You know Meredith? She's in our church. I think she's in kids today. We got a phone call. We weren't attentive to our phones. It was in the other room. It was on silent. You know that. Somebody calls, you miss the call. She had a need, and we missed it. But good thing is, we have a big family. And so they called someone else. They called Brandy and Jeremy. She called Brandy and Jeremy Romine, and she had a flat tire, and she had a need. And so she called us, and we weren't very good. But I'm so glad that we have a bigger family, because then Jeremy ran over and helped her with her flat tire. And I think that's pretty cool, isn't it? Like, she's calling people in our church to help her in that moment, but it gets deeper than that, right? And we know that even needs beyond that sort of stuff, we're starting a ministry care team in our church to take care of needs. Some of those families up here that had babies, they've just had meal trains from people in our church given to them. And we're encouraging you to say, hey, come, dig deeper into the family. Be a part of what's going on, so you can experience the caring for one another's needs. Next little thought: a family has fun together on purpose, right? Verse with this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And this happens in families, doesn't it? That we would have fun together, that we would actually do it on purpose, that we would, if you're in your own family, that you would create times of memory making and all those sorts of things. And I wanted to show you a little video because of something that was sort of fun that just happened in our church last weekend, I believe. And I'm going to give you just a little precursor. It's a little 15-second video from our youth lock-in, which you can expect will be good. And this is human hungry hippo, okay? So I don't know, and just pay attention to all that's happening in this little clip. All right, go ahead. That's David Lyons dancing in the background, and I didn't know anybody under 20 even knew how to hammer dance. You know what I'm saying? But I love that video. I don't know why, because it was so unexpected. But we have fun together. And I'm just throwing some stuff in to kind of get you even around this church. And it's a little different message, I know. But even this summer, we're going to do some things. We're doing summer worship nights. And I want you to hear that. Whenever you use the word worship, sometimes people think, oh, that's intense, right? No, we want to actually come together and have fun together. We're going to have a meal at 6:30 on these nights. You'll hear more about them in the coming weeks. And then we're going to just spend time together. Summer nights, being together. There's things like that that matter a whole bunch. Next little thought. A family shares the work and responsibilities. And some of you parents are like, really? This happens in a family, doesn't it? I mean, if you think about human history, whatever your family trade was, that's what the whole family did, right? If you were a farmer, well, then the kids got out and they milked the cows and they did whatever needed to be done to get the job done. And that's just kind of what's going on. And now today for us, we have things in our own house that need done, right? We need cleaning, doing the laundry, washing the dishes. And believe it or not, my kids, as wonderful as they all, they sometimes will complain about this. Anybody with me? Anybody have complainers about chores? Sometimes they'll complain about it. And occasionally they get the guts to actually ask me, how much will you pay me to fold the laundry? To which I will say, I will not pay you to be a part of this family. Doing laundry is this something we do. I will pay you because I love you and I want to bless you and I'll reward you, but I'm not going to pay you to do what needs to be done to be a part of this family. That's just me and my little philosophy, right? Like, there's things when it comes to being a family that we do because we are a family. And whenever you put it in the context of the church, right, that there's a lot of implications there, isn't there? That we would share in the work and the responsibility of being a family together. And then the next thought I want to share is this. Let's go on to the next one. The mature teach and disciple the young. And that is Psalm 71:18. There we go. Even when I am old and gray, I'm already getting gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. So parents, grandparents, even older siblings are constantly teaching and discipling the young. The other day, my two of my sweet children, Emily and Karis, were in bed, and they were doing their devotional, which was like a minor miracle, right? And this is like awesome. Well, the kids are doing their little Bible study. And they start, they're laughing though. And I'm like, what are you guys laughing about? And I'm thinking, and then train up in the child in the way they should go. And look, proof. They're doing their devotional. And then I was like, what are you guys laughing at? And they're like, oh, we're just talking about how funny names are in the Bible. And they go, and Emily's like, yeah, this one guy's name is Ham. And she just starts laughing. And the other one, and then Kara says, yeah, I found this one guy, his name's Nimrod. And I'm like, yeah, that is funny, you know? And I'm thinking, I'm doing a great job with this discipleship thing, you know? Every little bit counts, I guess. Next one. Proverbs 22, okay, that's okay. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that you go, even when he or she is old and gray, they will not depart from it. Okay, we're going to move on to the next one, and it's simply this, that everyone is equal in value, and everyone matters. Everyone is equal in value, and everyone matters. This is huge. This is really important, and I just want everyone to hear me, that you matter here. I know that we have stories of people who have found purpose and value here, and I believe God creates every one of us with different qualities, but for the purpose and the benefit of all. There's a scripture that I'll read with this as well. 1 Corinthians 12, there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. That we would see one another in such a way that we must believe that we are actually better together. And then the last thought I want to share today is a family gives and receives. You know, a healthy family has an environment of giving and receiving. And some of you have probably been in a family in which you find yourself always giving, don't you? And you're like, I never seem to get anything back. And that becomes dysfunctional and pain sets in. And some of you have also on the other end, though, where you're in a place where you constantly are receiving and you don't participate much in the giving. And healthy families have a great understanding that giving and receiving work in tandem. So I just want to ask you a question even on this. How are you doing? How are you doing on this list? Not only in your own family, but in our family. And this is just quick and fast, and I'm just throwing stuff at you, and really the powerful stuff today was in testimony and in story. But here's some hopefully thought-provoking, little challenging, little nuggets, if you will, that just say, hey, as a family, I think we have work to do, and it's good work. And we want to become a family as a church in which we're doing things that matter and doing all sorts of life-giving things in our city, but until we learn how to really be a family, we're going to struggle to do that to the fullest potential. So here's what I want to do to close today. So I just want to encourage you to pray for your family, maybe to pray even for our family. And some of you are a part of this church, and some of you I know are just visiting today, and I just want to say we're all really a part of a larger family, though, aren't we? We're a part of the family and the church around the world that says, hey, God, we're the sons and daughters of the living King. We want to be on mission together, but I believe until we can really understand what it means. I mean, that first one I said up there, the world will know us by our love. And so I want to get my family right. I want to get this right. When I say my family, I mean my family, but also my family right here as a church. So I want to encourage you today to pray. Maybe you will want to come forward and pray. Maybe you need to pray with a prayer team member to say, you know what, I have things going on in my family that is not going right. It has nothing to do with what was said today, but just today and the idea of family, it's just reminding me of the needs that I have in my family, and I need prayer for those things. Please come forward and pray. Maybe you just want to pray on behalf of your family today. Maybe you and your spouse want to come forward and pray, and you want to or pray right where you're at, or come forward and this make this altar area and pray for your family. And then, of course, all of us, I would encourage us to pray for us as a church family. So I want to encourage you to just bow your heads, and I'm going to say a prayer, and then I'm going to invite you to sing and to pray as a response today. Well, Holy Spirit, we pray right now that, Lord, this morning, even in its I don't know, I want to say in its simplicity, but that there's significance and there's things that are deep within us that resonate. Maybe Lauren said something today, Father, for some of us that we just needed to hear, to be reminded of, to be encouraged in. And Lord, of course, I pray even in these simple ideas that we throw up on a screen that they resonate in us in a deep way. So Lord, I pray today for each and every one of us in this room, for all of our families and for our family collectively, God, that you would speak to us and that you would move us forward to be transformed into the people that you desire us to be. I'm going to invite you to stand with us as we sing, and if you want to come and pray, I really encourage you to do that. Would you stand with us?